So last week we started this series, Christ Formed in Me. And you know, within this idea, where we're going is we're going to look at the stories of Jesus. And you know, I may skip one or two, and it might be just because in my studies I go, man, I don't feel like you're saying anything to me here. So we're going to go to the next story, okay? And so it's a little unsettling for me, I must admit. But I'm going to trust that God knows what he's doing, right? And he doesn't have to explain himself to me. So we're just going to keep going with this. So last week we started on this, talking about what that means, Christ formed in us. And I started with just briefly the conception of Jesus. And so my idea is, as we look at the life of Jesus, what we can say is, look at how he was becoming who he is, okay? And look how he was forming, what he was saying, what he was doing, how reflecting on, well, what is that, how is that playing out in my life today or this week, or what are you saying to me? It actually kind of came late this week, and after I got the news of Nick passing away, and I'm reflecting on Jesus being conceived in us as believers. The wonderful news that I got was, as I was talking with Jamie, she began to share of Nick went to church while he was in college, which is a miracle in and of itself, that any teenager goes, I mean, any college student goes to church while they're in college. I almost named names that I didn't. And she shared of him being baptized while he was in college and being involved in that group there. And you know what? There was for me this... And what I began to hear and see and think is Christ was being formed in him. And I got to tell you, what a sense of relief and peace. Such good news. What's important? What's important that Christ is being formed in each of us? Because someday, people are going to look at your life and go, Christ was formed in them. And we can then breathe a sigh of relief when we know that about you. That's the legacy we leave. And it has to begin somewhere. So as we look this morning, we're going to look at another story. And I want to challenge you, I want to remind you to connect this story, the story of the life of Jesus, with Christ being formed in us. Galatians 4:19. Paul's talking about the church there, and they've gone through a kind of a rough spell. They started off well, and then they began to kind of listen to some other people, and they began to believe in order for them to be saved, in order for them to be accepted by God, they had to become a Jew. And so they were buying into this mentality, and it was we probably don't even understand it to the level that they were dealing with. We label it a very works-based idea of religion, okay? But it went a lot deeper, I think, then. And so as Paul is trying to address that in that church, he basically says, my dear children, and for whom I'm again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. What he's talking about, I didn't take this out of context. We talked about it last week, okay? I'm just picking up. This is kind of our foundation verse. Until Christ is formed in you. So now let's take our story of Jesus and see what should we apply to us for how Christ is formed in us, okay? What's going on here in our life? All right, so we're going to look at the story. It's found in Luke chapter 2. Just a little history. Luke introduces, tells us, you know, the arrival of Jesus, he places it historically somewhat based on who the rulers were in the time. He tells us the birth of Jesus, and then we get this story, okay? And so this is what we're really early on in the life of Jesus here, okay? Starting in verse 40 of chapter 2 of Luke. And the child, he's talking about Jesus, in case you didn't know, okay? And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why have you been searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I would be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, we're not going to be able to cover everything in this story. I want to pull up some things that I found interesting that were good, okay? In other words, when I look at Scripture, I don't want to just, you know, tell you, here's the point I want you to see. I want us to study just a little bit, okay? And so I'm going to give you some information just for you to have some more information about this story, all right? So there's a few things that I noticed. Number one is Luke begins and ends this story with a very similar phrase. I don't know if you noticed that, but let's think about it this way. It's almost like he bookended this story. He starts it here and he ends it here, and it's very similar. And we should pick up on the clue here. If he starts a story and ends the story very similar, maybe there's something he's trying to say there, okay? So let's back up. This is what he said. The child, Jesus, grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him, okay? Do you hear what he's trying to, what Luke's saying? That he grew. That he was progressing. That he started here, and he was going this direction. And then he ends the story by saying, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. So he grew in wisdom. Mentally, he grew. He grew in stature. In case you're wondering, that means he actually grew taller. And maybe stronger physically. What's Luke getting at here? Well, as I wrestled through that, I think what Luke is wanting us to see, as he bookends this story, is he wants us to see that Jesus grew. I know, it's earth-shattering, isn't it? But what he means by that, why is this important? Well, this is important because what we need to see is that Jesus was really human. In fact, we say that Jesus was completely human. Or 100% human. This is an important piece to our theology, to our belief. We find it incredibly important that we acknowledge that Jesus was human. There are some that have taught, in fact, I believe that Luke is even addressing that here, is there some that taught that, well, it was really more just like, you know, he was God, but he came and he appeared to be like a man, and you know, he kind of went through the motions of being a man. That's, some of you are like, what in the world? No, there is this teaching. So he says he grew. He went through this progression just like you have gone through in your life. Some of us continue to grow, okay? Just as we go through life. He learned. He discovered. Luke wants us to understand that Jesus was completely human. Now, I hope this is hard for you to understand. See, because we believe not only was Jesus completely or 100% human, he was also and is God. Completely. Now, is that like hard to get your mind around? I certainly hope so, because it's hard for me to get my mind around as well. But it's a statement of our faith that Jesus is God. And Jesus, in the flesh, was human completely. There was something about him that spiritually was different. But physically, he was just like you and me. Luke wants us to see this. That's why he tells us he grew wisdom. You know, some of us might think, oh, well, you know, what? Here's toddler Jesus walking around and goes, I remember when I created that, and I remember when I created that. But John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. So Jesus was from the beginning. He is God. He's 100% God. And yet, he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Now, I'm not going to tell you why that's important just yet. All we're going to say is Luke was trying to communicate this. He was 100% human. Okay? Second thing that I want us to see is that that Luke says when he was 12 years old. Now, I almost read right over this, but then I started to think about this for a minute. It is the second time in Scripture that we actually, and maybe the only two times in Scripture that we know how old Jesus was, right? The only other time was I think when the shepherds visited, it was the night that Jesus was born, so he was like hours old. But this is the only time that we're told how old Jesus was. Now, some of you are probably sitting there going, no, he was 33 when he died. 33 when he died. No, we don't actually know that. Shocker for some of you. Some people have, you know, done the math, figured it out, made these really good assumptions and presented it as though it was fact. But we're not told. Nowhere in Scripture does it say Jesus was 33 when he died. We're not told Jesus was 30 when he started his earthly ministry, although some of us assume that. And maybe we even heard a sermon on it and believe that it's true and it's somewhere in the Bible. We just haven't read it yet. Okay? But it's not there. This is one of those strange moments that Luke tells us Jesus was 12 years old. It's the only time that he tells us how old he is. Could it be important? Or do we just, oh, great, he's 12 years old. I don't know. But as I did a little research, I came across this idea. In Jewish tradition, when a young man hits 13, not 12, when a young man hits 13, the family puts together a bar mitzvah. Now, I used to think it's just, you know, coming of age, celebration, whatever. No, bar mitzvah actually means son of the commandment, or a man obligated to mitzvahs. I'm not going to translate mitzvahs. Let's just assume it says commandments. But basically what they're saying is when a boy hits 13, they are now responsible for themselves for keeping the Torah, the rites, and the rituals. Okay? At 13, they are now responsible for being Jewish. We'll call it that. So Luke is making it very clear. Jesus is at this age. He's not at that, you know, in our language, we might say it's kind of like that age of accountability almost. He's not quite there. So there's still an innocence about him. He's still a boy when this happens. There was an innocence about this whole story. Now, if you're like me, we may have a tendency to read into it our own experiences, okay? I mean, I'll admit, I read this story and I get a little bit consumed with 3 days. Can you imagine? You lost your 12-year-old for 3 days? What would you be doing by this point? I would be freaking out. And I can't help but read this story and think, man, how are the parents even holding it together? You know, they want to grab their kid and give him a hug and wring his neck all at the same time. I mean, some of us have, like, pulled in that experience, right? We've had experiences like, I remember that moment, I couldn't find my kid in the store, and it scared me to death. One time we were, it was after Win One, and Max, I think, was like 1 year old, and we couldn't find him anywhere. Everybody had left, and we're running around the gym and the youth room and the foyer down there. Somehow he had wandered into the kitchen. He was fine being up here by himself, but we were freaking out, and that was a matter of moments. When I was a kid, we went to visit my, I shouldn't laugh, went to visit my cousins in Wenatchee, and they lived on one side of the river. The church was on the other side of the river, and we got up. It was over the weekend. We went to church with my cousins, and we show up at church, and we get out of the car, and pretty soon my parents are like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six. Where's Randy? And they looked at my cousins and my aunt and uncle, and they're like, is he with you? And he's not with us. And, well, he's not with us either. And my dad hopped back in the car, and he ran across town and got home, and here's my brother sitting in the basement watching TV, oblivious that 13 other people left the house and he didn't even know it. I read this story, I'm like, why didn't Jesus figure it out after the first day, right? I mean, I'm hungry, where are my parents? There's an innocence here, though. We need to kind of dismiss that, because that's not what Luke was trying to tell us. Yeah, his parents were concerned, absolutely. But there was this innocence here that Jesus had. Maybe what Luke wants us to see is that Jesus was consumed with what was taking place at the temple. So consumed that he didn't seem to realize the situation he was in. But it was this innocent being consumed. Third thing is Jesus was consumed with the teaching of the word. Do you realize the irony here? The word became flesh. He is the word, and he was consumed with the teaching of the word as he grew. He was fascinated, amazed by, interested in. His parents find him, and where is he? He's sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. He wasn't sitting there going, no, you got that all wrong, buddy. Let me correct you. Right? They were amazed at his understanding. In fact, he was asking questions of them, showing that he understood. Do you ever have that experience where you say something and somebody asks you a question and you're like, oh, you're tracking with me. That's fantastic. I think that's exactly what was happening. And they're looking at him going, he's 12 and he's getting this. But we need to look at it on the other side, that he was consumed or passionate about it. Jesus, the Word of God in the flesh, wanted to study the word with people who knew the word. Can I say that again? Jesus, the word of God in the flesh, wanted to study the word with people who knew the word. Okay? Listen, if you can't connect the dot, what's he doing as he's formed in you? This one should be really obvious. If that's what Jesus was doing when he was 12, as he's formed in you, what's going on? Okay, I jumped ahead in my notes. Okay, we're going to go. Fourth thing I notice is, so they find Jesus, and Mary says, your father and I were worried sick. Now, every once in a while, my boys get called your son, and it's never a good situation. Okay? Some people say that Max is just like me, and I don't know if that's a maturity thing they're insulting me by, or they just see that that must have been what I was like when I was a kid. I'm not sure. I haven't figured that one out yet, but your father and I, you can hear that kind of that tone, right? Jesus isn't being sassy as he responds back. He isn't back-talking. He was actually surprised they were upset. But more importantly, Jesus says, my Father. It's not an insult. Jesus wasn't that annoying teen that wanted to throw that back in Mary's face. That's not what he was saying. When he said, "Didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house?" It wasn't this, "Chill out, he's not even my real dad." Okay? That's not what he was saying. Jesus knows who he is or whose he is. That's what we should be able to see. Jesus knows whose he is. Luke is making it clear, Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, you could say that Luke makes it a point to show us Jesus is 100% human and 100% man. I mean, 100% God. That didn't make any sense until I fixed it, right? 100% man, 100% God. And the last thing I think I want us to see is this: Jesus submitted to his parents. This tells us his heart. This helps us to understand. He wasn't just being ornery. He wasn't being, you know, like I said, we carry with us those moments in our history of our personal experience, and we go, yeah, that kid was being naughty. But that wasn't his intent. That they came and got him, and he went with them to Nazareth and submitted to them. Right after he made the statement, "Didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house? I'm the Son of God, and I'm still being submissive to you. I'm obeying your authority." I never really knew what to do with this story, to be honest. As I've looked at this story before, you know, different phases in life, as I was a teenager, I'd read this story and I'd think, you know, see, Jesus struggled with his parents too. That's what I got out of it. That's pretty shallow, isn't it? Once I became a father, I read this from a different perspective. Either as the fear or the frustration as a parent. But as we read this with the lens of Christ being formed in me, how do we look at it differently now? What is going on here that we can say, that's what's going on in me? That's what God wants us to see, that it's happening in me because Christ is being formed in me. So I'm going to just step out on a limb, okay? Did anybody see anything? That you maybe felt like the Holy Spirit is saying, this is what it means to have Christ formed in you. From this story, I'll tell you, the first service had a couple people that had some good insight. No pressure, though. Anybody? Come on, I brag about you guys all the time. Yeah, Randall. Okay.
If you go back to the wedding when Jesus' mother asked him to make wine, right? Jesus says, well, basically he said, "Mom,
it's not my time." Right.
Even then, he knew who he was.
Yeah. Okay. So what is that? How do we connect that, though, to what he's doing in us? Does that make sense? As Christ is formed in you, where do we apply that to our lives? Angel? Okay. 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 The teaching process just says he was teaching even at 12. Is that kind of what? Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Oh, over here. Okay. Did you guys hear all that? Could you hear it okay? Some of you? Okay. I don't know if I can sum that up, but basically if I can kind of put it into words, she sees that his desire to learn and grow, if I let that grow in me, right, then if I seek him first, if I seek his word and understanding and knowing him better, maybe as I deal with family and friends and all these other pressures in the world, I'm going to deal with them better because I've started there. Is that okay? Kind of. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we have we not only have Jesus, but when we have the Word in us, then we have Jesus in us. It's almost flipping that statement around a little bit. Okay. Yeah, Margaret. Yeah, priorities, right. Okay? Yeah. Right. Right. Okay? You guys heard that? So here's the deal. I don't have a corner on the market of all the points that we can pull from this. I believe the Holy Spirit is and does talk to us as we look at a scripture, okay? And so I may just from time to time say, hey, did you guys see something? Because, you know, you may see something I didn't see. You know, what somebody in the first service said, which I thought was really good, and I thought, man, that might be better than any of mine, is that that at this point, Joseph was Jesus' father. Now, whether Jesus knew it or not, we assume he did, right? But there's a breaking point here where Jesus makes the public statement, God is my father. And what God's talked to him about is this, once again, it's this reminder of this picture that there's a point where we stop following ourselves and we need to start following him. Which I thought, well, I didn't get that in there, but I can see where you got it. That's good, okay? So let me do this, okay? Becoming like Christ means more than just acting like him. It means him living through you from the inside out, okay? From the inside out. Him living through you from the inside out. So as Christ is formed in you, what we've been given of the life of Christ is what's being formed in you. So the first thing my application is this: how he lived in relationship with God, his choices, his attitudes, his human side was always in submission to the Father's will. Okay? Let me pause for a minute. What I mean by that is he was pure. We know that when he was the pure sacrifice, he was perfect. That means even through his childhood, he was pure. He was always submitting to the Father. So as a total human, look how he was able to live. Well, let's be brutally honest. We make excuses and want to believe that we're not capable of living like he lived. But Jesus, the human, lived it. And he is in us. The way Jesus lived is what needs to happen in us. If he could do it, then as he is formed in us, we will also. Jesus, the new creation, is the same one being formed in you. The second thing I think we need to look at is this. Is his parents find him in the temple courts, and he's listening and asking questions. How much do you want to know and understand the Word of God? How are you pursuing the knowledge of God? These are things we should ask ourselves as we reflect. Look at what Jesus was doing. He was fascinated and consumed by it. He was so caught up. I have to say, there is something in you that is calling you to that, because the life of Jesus is being formed in you. Therefore, there is this part of you that is calling you to dig deeper. That is calling you to read His Word. Is calling you to not only read His Word, but study His Word. Is calling you to not only study His Word and read His Word, but have conversation with other people who do know His Word, so that you can grow deeper, so that you know Him. It's happening. That's what He's doing in you, because that is the life of Christ being formed in you. The question is, are you allowing that to be formed? See, because what happens is we get really good at ignoring that. We get busy with our life and we decide, oh, I'll read that later, right? And pretty soon, we've gone days, weeks, months, not even opening the book, let alone studying, let alone talking to anybody else about it. And yet, this is what's inside of us. Jesus wanted to be taught the Word of God. He asked questions. He listened. He was growing in wisdom. And maybe in the process of that, he's even asking you some questions. See, what happens for me is sometimes Jesus asks a question of me and it cuts through all of the smoke screens I have. Maybe you're not like me, but I have these smoke screens that I try to put up with God and me. In other words, they have no substance to them, but I just think, oh, well, maybe I'm tricking him. Maybe it's this little, this little lie that I convince myself of, and he knows it's not true. And there are times where he can just ask a question that just all of a sudden cuts right through all of that. And I'm like, oh, I didn't fool him. Or, oh, the only one being fooled was me, because I was actually starting to believe that one. I am convinced that Jesus being formed in you is calling you to know His Word. Because as Jesus grew, that's exactly what He wanted. There's a voice in you drawing you to know God better, to read the Word, to listen and ask questions. How often do you listen to it? How often do you maybe instead shush it, ignore it, squelch it? Maybe it's time to listen for it. Let it grow in you. To desire to know God and His Word is the life of Christ being formed in you. And the last thing that I want us to see is that Jesus knew whose He was. Just a little side note. I don't know if this means anything to anybody, but when Jesus responds to his mother and he says, "Didn't you know I'd be about I would be in my father's house. Or I must be in my father's house. Some translations say I must be about my father's business, right? So I decided I'm going to go back to the Greek. And I'm not a Greek scholar. I actually can't read Greek, so I cheat. Okay? I use a little resource. If I know a specific verse, I type in the Google line, interlinear, all one word, interlinear. Okay? Luke 2, 40, I can't remember what it was, 49, 40, something like that. I think it was 49. Guess what? You know what Jesus actually said? Didn't you know I'd be about my father's? That's it. Now, we can read that and we go, well, he just left us hanging? No, what he's saying is, about my father's everything. Some of the translators said, well, he's at the temple, so it's his father's house. It's not a bad translation, right? About my father's business, that's that effort to be like, that's my father's everything. Didn't you know that I would be about my father? Jesus knew that he was the Son of God. He knew whose he was. You know, too many things that had happened in his life that lead me to believe that Mary and Joseph told him whose he was often. It wasn't a secret. They didn't hide it. It wasn't this, you know, how come I don't look like all my other brothers and sisters? There was never going to be this moment where, hey, you know, Mom, Dad, I did the math, and it doesn't add up, right? That conversation didn't happen. I really don't think so. You realize how important it is for us to know whose we are? I don't know if you've noticed, have you ever heard the stories, the 23andMe and Ancestry.com? If you look at their testimonials, it's fascinating. Sometimes some surprises are discovered in their ancestry, but there's something in us that affects us when we know whose we are. And I look at those companies, and they're capitalizing on it. And all that has to do with is temporary stuff. We know whose we are in light of eternity. And that should transform us. Some of the testimonials on those say, it changed the way I see myself when they discover some amazing thing about their past. Whose we are affects who we are. Whose we are affects who we are. Jesus being formed in you will result in a discovering of whose you are. Okay? Jesus being formed in you will result in a discovery of whose you are. And you can sit here and you go, ah, yeah, I'm a child of the King. I understand that. No, no. You know what? It needs to go deeper than that. Because it's a process of growing in wisdom and understanding. I would challenge you, if you think you know whose you are and you've discovered it to the point that you don't need to learn any more about it, think again. You have more to learn here, because he's being formed in you. If I see the story of Jesus as he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, then I can begin to recognize what Christ formed in me looks like. And when we know what it looks like, we can begin to give our attention to those things as they're formed in us. If we can begin to say, that's Christ being formed. Wait, that's Christ being formed. I need to notice that in my life. I need to foster it. I need to fan it into flame. I need to pay attention to it. I need to start listening to that. We are allowing ourselves to be infused by Him so that our very being is exactly like Him. There comes a time, maybe it's today, when we must give up control. Stop trying to be good enough and let God be God in us. Doing what only He can do, leading us where He will lead, where He will, excuse me, and conforming us into the image of His Son for His glory. Would you pray with me? I want to challenge you as within that prayer. I've given you a prayer that maybe you want to read. Maybe you want to pray today even. Why don't we close our time this morning with these words? Pray along if you want. Not out loud, but if you feel led, okay? Dear God, I give up trying to work. They don't fix what's really wrong. Forgive me for trusting in myself instead of You. Today, I surrender all my efforts and I give You complete charge of my life. Help me see when and where You are being formed in me so that I can surrender to Your work. I pray this in Jesus' name.